Lecture topic, prioritizing and making deen our objective.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah wa kafa wa salatu wa salamu ala ibadihi alladhina astafa. Amma ba'du ta'awudhu billahi minashaitanir rajim. Bismillahir rahmanir rahim. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد كمثل غيث أعجب الكفار نباته ثم يهيج فتراه مصفرا ثم يكون حطاما وفي الآخرة عذاب شديد ومغفرة من الله ورضوان وما الحياة الدنيا إلا متاع الغرور صدق الله العظيم. Most respected ulama ikram, brothers and elders. Allah Ta'ala has blessed us with this opportunity of life. And regardless of what else and almost everything else, that everybody has a difference of view in this world, but one aspect is totally unanimous. There's no two views about it, that this life will come to an end. Nobody will live in this dunya forever. How many janazas we have attended? And one day people will talk about that it was our janazah. Sayyidina Umar Farooq radiallahu ta'ala an used to say, يَقُولُ النَّاسِ مَاتَ فُلَانِ وَمَاتَ فُلَانِ وَلَا بُدَّ مِنْ يَوْمٍ يُقَالْ مَاتَ عُمَرْ. People say every day, so-and-so has passed away, and so-and-so has passed away. That day will certainly come when people will say Umar has passed away radiallahu anhu. So he was reminding everybody and once one and himself as well, that look, this time is very precious. We have this little time in life, and this time is to make our everlasting life of the hereafter. In this ayat of the Quran Sharif that was recited, Allah Ta'ala spells out in front of us what is the life of a person, how does his life pass. If he didn't make his life a life where there is some objective in it, correct objective, he didn't make deen his purpose of life, he didn't make his akhirat the focus and the destination that he wants to reach safely, he engrossed himself in dunya itself, made dunya the be-all and end-all, so this is how his life passes. So this is a clear description the Quran Sharif gives us. And what is being highlighted to us, that look, if a person wants to make something of his akhirat, then he shouldn't allow his life to just pass in this way. Because otherwise life will just pass. But at the end of the whole time that he has had on earth, then there's nothing to show for it. And the whole akhirat is lost as well. That is the greatest disaster and tragedy. So if a person doesn't have an objective, doesn't make his life a life of something that's constructive, something that is really worth anything, then how it will pass? So Allah Ta'ala says, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَهُ. This is the first phase of life. This is a time when a person is not even accountable, so this is discounted in any case. That a person's life starts off, that little baby can do nothing, totally unable to do anything. All that child does is lie on its back, moves its hand and feet, and if it needs to be fed, it'll cry, needs to be cleaned, it'll cry, it's in some pain, it'll cry, and just gain the attention of those around by crying, and do nothing else but shake his hands and feet, maybe then gradually move his head around. But that's all the child is able to do. But then as the child grows up, and now he's able to move a little, and now he's crawling maybe, And then a little bit after that, then what becomes his life? Then he starts la'ib. إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا Allah Ta'ala says, starts off with la'ib. La'ib, just play. La'ib, and then followed by lahu. So la'ib is that kind of play, which is just a play in itself of just with no end, no goal in it, nothing, no purpose in it, no purpose of any sort. It's just some entertainment to oneself. Now children of that age, they'll find anything, they'll play with it. And adults will get abused also with their play sometime. But that's it, that's how they carry on, that's their life. And that's what's expected of them. So that is la'ib. This is the first phase. But then as the child grows now further, he comes to another phase where now he's still playing only. His life is just centered around playing. But now there is a little bit more, some advancement in the play. First it was just playing anything and everything and anyhow and everyhow, which there was no method to that what he was playing, nothing. Now there's some maybe method to it. It is a little bit more sophisticated. It is a little bit more advanced. But the objective in that play also is nothing but what was in the first instance. Just to entertain oneself. Some enjoyment. Some entertainment. Just to pass the time. Get past the day. So, إِنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبُ وَلَهُ This is the first part and first two phases of a person's life. But generally, this is the part of time when a person is still not yet of age, not accountable. Well, that is where this should rather be now done with. And then comes the third phase. So now the person is growing up, coming to his teens. So whatever else will carry on, but the focus of life comes wazinatun. Adornment. Now, you see him standing in front of the mirror repeatedly, walking past some car who is double checking, everything is in place. And everything is about adornment. Now he doesn't want to wear anything and everything, he wants to wear something that will catch somebody's and everybody's attention. So he just doesn't want to wear any kind of garment, he wants to wear a branded garment. And he just doesn't want to wear anything and everything. Something has come now new on the market. So the parents are telling him, but you just got half a dozen of the same, very similar things. You've hardly worn it. Now this new thing, if I have it first, it'll catch people's attention. Nobody says it in so many words. But that is the underlying factor. That now, I got it first, nobody else got it. So doesn't matter, tomorrow he'll be already old. Doesn't matter, 1 week's time, this will be outdated also. But right now, for 1 week, I'll enjoy the attention. Wazinatun. It's all about the attention. All about attracting the attention of others and being somebody. Being outstanding. Yahi tujhku dunhe rahu sabse bala. Ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. Hazrat Khaja Azizul Hasan Barzub rahmatullah alayh, he describes this whole scene in this couplet. Says, Yahi tujhku dunhe rahu sabse bala. At that stage of a person's life, but many a times when a person hasn't made deen his objective, his direction, his goal, then as life moves on, now that was the first phase of life, la'ib, and then followed by lahu, where there was just nothing else but play, and that was the person's life. But if a person doesn't make deen his goal, doesn't make earning the akhirat his objective, then as he moves on in the next phases, the first two phases don't get shed behind. That too comes along. So now he's in that phase of zenith, in adornment, attractions, trying to make himself more attractive and try to catch attention of everybody. But that lahu and la'ib hasn't gone somewhere else. That too is carrying on. That has come along. Maybe the form will change. Maybe the manner in which it happens will change. But that will remain as a part of life. As an objective, that now I just need to entertain myself. But together with that, now I must also look smart. I must also be somebody that can be fitting in any circle. I mustn't be looking like a person got nothing I'm not fitting in certain circles. No, that cannot be the case. And rather, I must be looking as the person. Yahi tujhko dun hai, rahu sabse bala. This is the only thing that you have in your mind, that I must be one above all. I must be outstanding. People must look at me. People must now admire me. I must gain all the attention. Ho fashion, ho zinat nirali, ho fashion nirala. But how I'm dressed, and how my appearance is, and what gadgets I have, and what kind of devices I'm possessing, and what kind of things I drive, and everything, all must be unique. The fashions and the brand labels I wear, that must be unique. I must be one above everybody. And then he asks a question, kya yuhi jeeta hai marne wala? Kya marne wala yuhi jeeta hai? That is this the way that a person who's going to one day die, does he live like this? Is this his life? Person who knows qiyamah is coming, who has his iman, that maut is coming, one day my life is suddenly going to leave. Malakul maut is going to be there, he's going to extract my ruh, and then everything will get left behind. I have to face Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. The person who has this yaqeen, that could happen anytime. It could happen tomorrow, it could happen tonight. The person who's got that yaqeen, I'm going to lie in my qabr. Nobody will come along there. Nobody will come along. I will have to lie alone in my qabr. So then, at that time, what's going to be of help to me? The person who has this yaqeen, that I'm going to have to stand on the day of Qiyamah and answer for my deeds. And thereafter, it is the end result of either Jannah or Jahannam. So now the person who has all this yaqeen, conviction, he knows this is where I'm headed to. Is this the way he lives his life? That I must just be one better than everybody. I must just garner all the attention. I must be the center of attraction. No, that's not the way it be. But then this is unfortunately how life goes. When a person hasn't made deen his purpose in life. He hasn't made connecting himself to Allah Ta'ala the objective, and hasn't made earning Allah Ta'ala's pleasure his ultimate goal. وَدِدْوَانُمْ مِنَ اللَّهِ أَكْبَرُ. The ultimate is Allah must become pleased. There's all kinds of other motives and everything else that's taking his mind and heart away, but he hasn't yet made the ultimate goal earning Allah's pleasure. So now, there's a person who's going to die, who knows he's going to die, and knows all this is going to follow. Is this how he lives his life? If that was yaqeen, genuinely in the heart, then this won't be the condition. So any case, wazinatun, this continuous obsession with attraction, making oneself the center of attraction, and then whatever goes along with it, and then moves on from that phase, wazinatun, watafakhurum bainakum, and then boasting, I have this, and I have done that, and these are my achievements, and this is what all my accolades are. And one thing after the other, person can't finish off talking about himself. And all the things that I have done in life, there's something or the other to boast about. Boasting never finishes off. And then if a person doesn't have anything that's genuine to boast about, there is nothing that we can boast about. Whatever it is purely Allah Ta'ala's grace. Outwardly it appears that there's some achievement of some sort, there's some thing that a person has acquired, but that is all Allah's grace. Purely Allah Ta'ala's fazal, karam, ihsan. But when a person doesn't have anything to talk about, then he'll fabricate something just to make himself look one better. And if not himself, then well, somebody above, in his lineage somebody, they were really super. Some people now, olden days, were sitting and the same boasting started off. So one person now started making up on story. So he says, well, actually my great-grandfather, it is well known about him. He was such a master that he would hang one clay pot, fill it up with water, hang it. And then from a distance he'll shoot an arrow at it. So when he shoots an arrow at it, he was such an expert at this that it will topple the clay pot, it'll go upside down, all the water will fall, but the clay pot will remain intact. Now, subhanAllah, an arrow shot from a distance, and the water fell out, the whole clay pot went upside down, but the clay pot didn't break with the arrow. So now he made that story up, but now somebody had to outdo him. Because now how can he get left behind? As it is now, this person made such an ajeeb story, now he has to outdo him. So he says, well, my great-grandfather, this is nothing. What you're talking about, this is nothing. My great-grandfather, he used to do a similar thing. He used to hang that clay pot, and he used to shoot the arrow at it. That whole clay pot used to shatter and fall to pieces, but the water used to remain there. So now he has to make some story about him. So my great-grandfather was such an expert, this happened and that happened. So one thing after the other, if the person has nothing to speak about to make himself look as something, then he'll fabricate something, but this is that phase of life. But again, when deen hasn't been made the maqsad and the object of a person's life, when he hasn't made his ultimate to achieve the pleasure of Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala, then as time moves on, this doesn't fall behind. He moves on to the next phase of life, but this carries on. That zinat carries on. He was once upon a time in his teens and obsessed with that adornment and attractions. Now he's become a grandfather. That didn't fall away yet. That's coming along still. Somebody has become a grandmother. She's now trying to outdo her granddaughters also. Because that maqsad is still dunya. The maqsad hasn't become deen. So now despite the fact that age has moved on, but this completely incorrect direction of life, that hasn't left. That's carrying on. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ. And then the next phase comes, وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Now first the person is just in this mode of life, boasting about this, boasting about that. Then now it starts becoming competing in wealth, in offspring. I have so much and you have so much. And if he's not competing with somebody else, he's competing within himself. Meaning it's not an open competition, he's seeing what's going on. So what's going on? I need to have better. I need to have more. I need to increase and double what has already been doubled many times. Meaning that itself becomes the purpose. One is, in the course of life, in the course of day-to-day things, business carries on. So now things increased, something got expanded. But that is not the maqsad of life. That is not a goal in itself. That will happen. That carries on. But not as an objective. Not as a purpose of life. That happens because things just sometimes happen in that way, carries on. But when that becomes the purpose of life, when that becomes an objective and a goal in itself, then to achieve that goal, a person will then transgress the laws of Allah Ta'ala. Because that has become the goal. The goal is not Allah Ta'ala's pleasure anymore. The goal is not to connect to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. The goal is not to achieve akhirat. The goal has become dunya. So now, that has become the goal. And deen is becoming, so to say, na'uzu billah, the obstacle in that goal, then this will have to be moved aside. Because this is the objective. So now this becomes the goal. This becomes the phase of life that a person is now all the time just about what more and how much more and how it can be made more. And the mind is only occupied in how to down, in one way or the other, dunya. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. And competing. I have so many children, so many grandchildren, he's got so many, he's talking about his, and each one is boasting about, my one grandchild is here, one other one is doing something there. Alhamdulillah, Allah give all barakat. But that becomes, that's the topic, that is the person's mind all the time engrossed in. But that grandchild, is he performing his 5 times daily salah? And that son, is he also coming closer to Allah Ta'ala, or is he going further away? The other person, what is he doing? Hazrat Mufti Muhammad Shafi Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. Now we're talking about which zamana this is, ages ago. And at that time, for somebody to have gone to the UK and study and come. So this was like a very big thing for them. This fellow went like somewhere, he went to the skies and came. So any case, after some time, his son came back, studied and came. So he came to tell Hazrat Mufti Shafi Sahib in a kind of self-praise. My son went to the UK, studied and came, and he's qualified now in this and that and the other. He says, but bas itni baat hai, thora sa bedeen ho gaya hai. There's only this much. He's gone off the track a little bit. He's got all his qualifications, but he's gone off the track, meaning he lost his deen. So now that became like a footnote. I just, all this was the, say, this was the main, all the details involved, that he's done this and done that. As a footnote, he's gone off the, he lost his deen, but. So now when dunya became the objective, then deen became a footnote. It doesn't matter when now something went right, something went wrong too, doesn't matter. So this is what Allah Ta'ala is warning us about. Look, this life will pass. These phases, if deen didn't become the purpose of life, then life will go in this manner. It'll just pass. And now suddenly when Malakul Maut came, now it's too late to regret. So this is Allah Ta'ala giving us this whole description. وَتَفَاخُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ وَتَكَاثُرٌ فِي الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَوْلَادِ. Then the Quran Sharif gives us an example to understand this. كَمَثَلِ غَيْثٍ أَعْجَبَ الْكُفَّارَ نَبَاتُهُ ثُمَّ يَهِيجُ فَتَرَاهُ مُصْفَرًّا ثُمَّ يَكُونُ حُطَامًا. See, we see this happening around us all the time. We see it happening all the time, that how when the rains come down, then it brings forth the crops from the ground, and then the crops suddenly then grow up, and it is lush and green, and the farmer looks at it and he's so pleased, now everything is ripe for the harvest. And then after a while, it's what happens then? Starts withering, becomes yellow, starts withering, and then eventually everything is on the floor, it's chaff. So insan sees this happening around him all the time, but doesn't take an ibrat, doesn't take a lesson. I am now feeling like I'm in the prime of things, and I'm at the peak, but I'm also going to be in the ground one day. How soon Allah knows? That also still has generally a full cycle. But how many insan, in the middle of that cycle which they had already in their mind, I'll still do this and that and that and that, midway they're gone. Some didn't get in midway of their big plans, already gone. Allah knows best when our time is. So Allah Ta'ala is alerting us to this reality. Remember, take a lesson from these things around. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. But now the year after is coming. What is the year after all about? There's two directions in there. وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ. On the one side is painful punishment, severe punishment. Severe punishment for those who just carried on in life in this manner. They didn't make their life a life with an objective. And what objective? The objective that corresponds to Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala. That made deen the purpose of their life. Making deen the purpose of one's life doesn't mean that a person must stop living. Or if not stop living in what our sense of living is. That now he must abandon his family, must not have anything to do with any earning dunya. No, that's got nothing to do with that. That's a total misconception. Making deen the objective has got nothing to with abandoning the things that we do in day-to-day life. But it is a matter of when deen becomes the objective, everything will get redirected correctly. When deen has become the objective, then a person will live doing the same things that others do, but he'll do it in a very different way, with a different purpose, and he'll make it meaningful. He won't just eat and drink and sleep and carry on with life like the animals also do. He will eat and drink to sustain life till Allah wills, so that this life could be for the service of Allah Ta'ala. And in that process, Allah Ta'ala has given him responsibilities. Allah has made him responsible for himself, responsible for his family. Allah Ta'ala has made it his responsibility to earn for his family. طَلَبُ كَسْبِ الْحَلَالِ فَرِيدَةٌ بَعْدَ الْفَرِيدَةِ. It's an obligation after the other obligations of deen. So he'll do all that with the same intention. Allah has made this my responsibility. So to fulfill the responsibility Allah Ta'ala has placed on me, I have to make this effort. But I have to make it in the way Allah is pleased, not breaking Allah's commands. Allah is not in need of me to provide for anyone. The provider is Allah alone. So when that is the purpose, that is his direction, that I want to please Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, And he won't cross the lines of deen to do what Allah has obligated him to do. He will also eat and drink, but he will eat and drink in a way that brings him closer to Allah Ta'ala. So the purpose of life must become deen. And to have this moth in front of us all the time, where are we heading? So Allah Ta'ala says, وَفِي الْآخِرَةِ عَذَابٌ شَدِيدٌ وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. But those who take a step back and focus that, look, where am I heading? I can't go in the wrong direction. I have to go in a way that takes me closer to Allah Ta'ala. I have to make deen my purpose. I cannot make dunya my objective. I will live in the dunya. I'll use the dunya. But deen must be my direction. Deen is the purpose, to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Allah must become pleased. So the person who steps back, and that now drives him towards doing what is going to please Allah Ta'ala. So then for him is, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ وَرِضْوَانٌ. Being insan, he'll also slip up somewhere here and there, but because he has been sincerely trying, and where he has slipped up somewhere, he's been making tawbah, istighfar, then he took 10 steps forward, and unfortunately took another 5 backwards, and then he took another 3 forward, another 2 backwards, but he is never stopping. And if he made any mistake, he's turning in sincere repentance to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Then for him, وَمَغْفِرَةٌ مِّنَ اللَّهِ. Then it's Allah's maghfirat and forgiveness for him. وَرِضْوَانٌ. And that ultimate goal, Allah's pleasure will come to him. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. Allah Ta'ala says this worldly life, the Quran Sharif repeatedly declares this. This worldly life is what? It is but mata'ul ghurur. It is goods of deception. It makes so many promises to a person. This is how I will protect you, and this is the security I will give you, and this is this, and this is that. But when the time comes, it all just leaves him behind. Say, sorry, I can do nothing for you. The angel of death has come to take you. You go alone now. Mata'ul ghurur. And sometimes while he's around, that thing is gone. Deceives him. Gave him so much of hope and gave him so much of something and the other. It's gone. So this is the message the Quran Sharif is giving us. That look, don't get deceived by dunya. Dunya is mata'ul ghurur. Rather, what should be the case? Sabiqu ila maghfiratin min rabbikum wa jannatin arduha as-samawati wal ard u'iddat lil muttaqin. Rather now hasten towards that jannat. Hasten towards the jannat which Allah Ta'ala has prepared for His pious servants. أَعْدَدْتُ لِعِبَادِيَ الصَّالِحِينَ مَا لَا عَيْنٌ رَأَتْ وَلَا أُذُنٌ سَمِعَتْ وَلَا خَطَرَ عَلَى قَلْبِ بَشَرٍ. The Hadith Sharif, Allah Ta'ala says, Hadith Qudsi, I prepared for my pious servants, which no eye has seen, no ear has heard of, and no heart can imagine. Now in dunya we are trying to think of what not to do, to try and gain more entertainment and enjoyment of some nature or the other. Something or the other to just keep us thrilled in some way. But artificial things cannot give any enjoyment. And especially if the element of sin is involved in it, then that is just sugar-coated poison. That is just sugar-coated poison. If there's some entertainment that a person is engaging in, some pastime and some whatever else activities is getting involved in, but if the element of sin and disobedience of Allah Ta'ala is involved in it, it is taking him to fitna, it is taking him to venues of sin and vice, it is taking him to venues of where all kinds of things are happening, it is getting him involved in zina of the eyes, in zina of the ears, he's getting involved in the worst kind of filth, then that can never ever give any person any kind of peace at any time. Yes, the most that will happen, that he'll get the deception of some kind of enjoyment, very, very temporarily, because he got caught up in the deception of dunya. But then, that sugar-coated poison, is that sugar is only tasted on the tongue. But then the sugar dissolves on the tongue. But as that is going down the throat, already that sugar is gone. The poison already starts burning. And when it gets to the stomach, it starts tearing the intestines apart. But now, that sugar is on the tongue, he might be still tasting a little bit of the sugar, but his intestines are getting torn apart. The stomach lining is already on fire. This is the reality of sin. This is the deception. The shaitan merely makes the person taste a little bit of that sugar. And the person thinks it's all about this. But once he falls into it, then now the poison now starts biting. So this is the mata'ul ghurur that Allah Ta'ala is warning us about. And therefore we are being told, don't get caught up in this deception. Rather hasten towards Allah Ta'ala. Hasten towards Jannat. How is that going to happen? By hastening towards those a'mal that take one to Jannat. By hastening towards those efforts that take one towards Jannat. So now this is the whole purpose of life, to connect ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, to earn the pleasure of Allah Ta'ala. Everything else that we do will all get left behind. But if we have pleased Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala, then that will take us along into our qabr, the day of Qiyamah, take us to Jannat. So this doesn't happen by just dreaming about it, doesn't happen by just wishing for it. The system Allah has placed in dunya, number one, يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Allah is a nizam, there's a system. The sun rises at a certain time, sets at a certain time, clockwork. Ages have gone past, nothing has changed in that. Not one second ever late. Allah's nizam, there's a system in this dunya. And it rises at a certain time, on a certain day, and then it moves in a certain manner. The same will carry on next year also, and it carries on for thousands of years. That's a system and nizam Allah has for all these things we see around us. So likewise, for hidayat, Allah has placed a system. This is how it will work. Then Allah wills out of His grace and mercy, somebody gets it without that effort, that's Allah's prerogative. But the system, number one, يَهْدِي إِلَيْهِ مَنْ يُنِيبُ. Allah guides towards Himself, the one who shows that inclination, that talab. He has that need within Himself. I want to get close to Allah Ta'ala. I want to become the true servant of Allah Ta'ala. I don't want my life to just pass in all these phases, just adorning myself, playing and play and amusement, and then just boasting and competing, and then what? Now somebody built 5 sand castles, somebody 10, then the wave came and just washed it all out, finish, end of story. I don't want to be just leading my life in that manner. Yes, whatever in dunya we'll have to do, we'll do for ourselves, for our families, but the purpose and direction is akhirat. So number one, that talab, that inclination, that need, I want to get closer to Allah Ta'ala. Sometimes unfortunately, very, very unfortunately, shaitan comes so overwhelmingly within us, and the nafs then deceives us in such a way, a person sometimes becomes a little bit concerned about what? Oh, this son of mine is getting a bit too pious. This daughter is getting too pious. Now she wants to wear hijab now. She wants to adopt niqab. She wants to adopt full parda. Now this is going to spoil our fun now, because she doesn't want to have anything to do with this intermingling. And now there must be complete segregation. And now this fellow is waking us up early in the morning for fajr. And they don't want us to go to these kind of venues. They're saying, no, all this is fitna. So now this is becoming a problem now. La hawla wa la quwwata illa billah. Piety became a problem. Taqwa became a problem. What answer will give to Allah Ta'ala on the day of Qiyamah? What problems got people got on in this dunya? What extreme situations people are in? And somebody's son, somebody's daughter decided to adopt taqwa. That became our problem. La hawla wa la quwwata illa. That was something to celebrate. That was something to go make 2 rakats nafil and make shukr to Allah Ta'ala. Ya Allah, you inspired my child. I am where I am. I am so far away. But you inspired my son, my daughter, my brother, my whoever. You inspired them to come closer to you. Ya Allah, make me also come closer. That was a time to celebrate. That was a time to express deep shukr. Many a person, the words might not be the same. The words might differ. But that's the sum total of what many a person sometimes says. It is, the wording is different. Wording is well, becoming a little bit extreme. What's becoming extreme? What's so extreme? No, he doesn't want to be part of now. He says, no, it must be segregated. So Allah Ta'ala's law, na'uzubillah, is extreme. Allah Ta'ala's law is extreme then. So where we took it to? But that is when nafs and shaitan come in, then a person doesn't think where he's going, what he's doing, because the objective, the direction, the goal is somewhere else. It's not where it should be. So now that talab, I want to get there, I'm far away from it all. In terms of my ibadat, I'm so far away, I want to get there. I want to make sure I don't miss one fajr with jama'ah, with takbir-e-ula, all my 5 daily salah. People are reciting Quran Sharif so much daily, I'm not even touching the Quran Sharif. I want that yearning is there. Subhanallah, look at that person's akhlaq. What beautiful akhlaq. The akhlaq that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam taught us. See so much of a reflection of that in this person's life. I am so far away. Where's the akhlaq on my tongue? Where's the akhlaq in my manner and in my ways? I also want to become like that want, that talab. And likewise in my muamalat, in my muasharat. That person, mashallah, is so engrossed in the work of deen. I too want to become engrossed in deeni efforts. That talab, that want to come closer to Allah Ta'ala. Yahdi ilayhi may yunib. And that talab is there, then what will happen? A person make dua at least. He will start off with making dua. He'll ask in his heart at least. He'll sometimes give some sadaqah with that niyat. Ya Allah, open the doors of deen for me. Allah, I'm so sluggish in my deen. You make me somebody who becomes truly yearning for deen. He'll give some sadaqah with that niyat. That is a talab. He's showing some need to Allah tabaraka wa ta'ala. Allah, I want to get there. So, yahdi ilayhi may yunib. That's the first step. To show that inclination. Make that dua. Put that sadaqah with that niyat. Do some good deed. And help somebody in something. With that purpose that Allah accept this inshallah. This secretly, whatever Allah gives this opportunity. Only between me and Allah Ta'ala this is. Allah accepts, ya Allah open the doors of deen for me. And then, like there's a need sometimes in a person now, I need to get this, whatever issue treated, some physical ailment, some problem, I need to treat it, then he undertakes effort for that as well. He doesn't only make dua, it'll happen only with Allah Ta'ala's will, but dunya Allah has made that the system, that make the effort for it also. Go and undertake the treatment, and then here you go and go pay for the treatment also. And there's a mujahada involved in it. There's so many things that will now get disrupted in day-to-day life, because this has to get treated. There'll be so many days perhaps in hospital, and there'll be operation. But because there's a talab for that cure, there's a talab to get past this illness. So now there's a talab for it, there's an effort for it also. Person can't afford it, he's trying to make the means somehow. So likewise, there's an effort for hidayat. There's an effort for hidayat, to make an effort to get this hidayat within ourselves. Allah Ta'ala has made this the system. وَالَّذِينَ جَاهَدُوا فِينَا لَنَهْدِيَنَّهُمْ سُبُلَنَا. Those who strive to get closer to us, then we'll open out the pathways of hidayat for them. Every path of deen that takes a person to Allah Ta'ala is part of the pathways of hidayat. So this is what all the efforts of deen are for, whether it is the madaris, the makatib, the khanqas, and the effort of da'wat and tabligh, is all for the same purpose. That we become truly conscious of Allah Ta'ala, we live our lives with this purpose, with this objective. I must become a true servant of Allah Ta'ala, I must become subservient to Allah Ta'ala in every aspect of life, I must become the true slave of Allah Ta'ala. My ibadat must come right. My muamalat, my muasharat, my akhlaq. And I must give my life for the service of Allah Ta'ala. Everything else will carry on, but this must be my purpose in life. This must be my goal, my objective, that how can I serve the deen of Allah Tabaraka wa Ta'ala? How can I bring deen in myself and bring deen in everybody else? Whatever effort I can make in that regard. In this regard is all the efforts of deen. MashaAllah, the Ijtima is at our doorstep already, 8, 9, 10th of next month, August. So it's around the corner from us. MashaAllah, all those who are in Durban are part of the hosts. So we should all become very much involved in all the aspects of the Ijtima, from before, during, that how this can become a means of people getting connected to Allah Ta'ala. We ourselves and everybody else. Getting connected to Allah Ta'ala, that making deen the purpose of life. It's not all about how many people attended and went away. It's not about numbers. It's about connecting to Allah Ta'ala. So yes, the more people come to benefit from that gathering, but with the objective that we must become the true servants of Allah Ta'ala. Our goal, Allah Ta'ala must become pleased. And to serve the deen of Allah Ta'ala for His pleasure alone. So for this, inshallah, we too become part of the effort. We too become part of whatever we can do before to remind people, encourage them, bring them along, and give them the advice that is, many people come for the very first time. They have no idea what this is all about, besides that somebody brought them and came away, or told them to come, or something's happening, so they came. But what is the purpose? What is the whole effort for? What is this all being done for? Why is this such a big gathering here for? It's for no other purpose but that we come onto that direction, that for what Allah created us. That is the purpose. Allah Ta'ala give me and all of us the tawfiq. Allah Ta'ala make our goal and direction deen. And that how we can reach Allah Ta'ala and earn His pleasure, that becomes our ultimate goal. Allah Ta'ala give us the tawfiq. Wa akhiru da'wana anil hamdulillahi rabbil alameen. We have zikr for a few minutes and then dua, inshaAllah.
لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا يا ربي صل وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم جزى الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله لا إله إلا الله 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 محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. الله الله جل جلاله عم نواله. الله 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 لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لك الحمد كله ولك الشكر كله. اللهم لا نحصي ثناء عليك أنت كما أثنيت على نفسك. جزا الله عنا نبينا محمدا صلى الله عليه وسلم بما هو أهله. يا ربي صلي وسلم دائما أبدا على حبيبك خير الخلق كلهم. ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين. رب اغفر وارحم واعفو وتكرم وتجاوز عما تعلم إنك أنت الأعز الأكرم. ربنا توفنا مسلمين والحقنا بالشهداء والصالحين غير خزايا ولا ندامة ولا مفتونين. اللهم اهدنا واهد بنا وجعلنا سببا لمن اهتدى. اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اهد الناس جميعا اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين. اللهم اغفر لأمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهدي وأصلح أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم فرج الكرب عن أمة سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, O most merciful, most gracious, most kind, most loving Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, forgive us, Ya Allah. Forgive the entire ummah of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Ya Allah, make us and the entire ummah your true and obedient servants, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make our goal and objective, Ya Allah, to earn your pleasure, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our destination akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our focus earning akhirat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the deception of dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, make us your obedient and loyal slaves, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, save us from the types of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, save us from the ways of Yahud and Nasara, Ya Allah. Grant us the beautiful lifestyle of Nabi Kareem, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Bless us with these beautiful mu'amalat and mu'asharat and akhlaq, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, bless us, Ya Allah. Bless us with hidayat, Ya Allah. Bless the entire ummah with hidayat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, guide us to your pleasure, Ya Allah. Save us from everything that earns your displeasure, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, Ya Allah, enable us to perform our 5 times salah with jama'ah, Ya Allah, with khushu and khudu, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, such a salah which you are pleased with, Ya Allah. Enable us, Ya Allah, to recite the Quran Sharif in abundance daily, Ya Allah. Enable us to be forever in your remembrance, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant us the tawfiq of, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, doing all that which pleases you, Ya Allah. Save us from all the sins and vices, Ya Allah. Save us from all the haram, Ya Allah. Save us from the sins of the eyes, Ya Allah. The sins of the ears and tongue, Ya Allah. The sins of the hands and feet, Ya Allah. Save us from all the evils of the heart, Ya Allah. Cleanse our hearts out of all the evils and maladies, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the pride, the arrogance, the malice, the jealousy, Ya Allah. Remove the love of dunya, Ya Allah. The love of the ego, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, fill our hearts with well-wishing for one and all, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, make our hearts yearn for you, Ya Allah. Make our hearts yearn to get closer to you, Ya Allah. Make our hearts yearn for Jannat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, remove the love of dunya from our hearts, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, throughout the world, Ya Allah, wherever the Muslims are in any kind of difficulty and hardship, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant afiyat in deen, Ya Allah. Afiyat in dunya, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you bless one and all, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, grant total afiyat in every matter, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, our brothers and sisters of Gaza, Ya Allah, of Palestine in entirety, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you grant afiyat to them, Ya Allah. Remove their difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you send your special mercies, Ya Allah. Your special grace, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, you spend your special help on them, Ya Allah. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. Allahumma ansurhum ala aduwika wa aduwihim. Allahumma kun lahum mu'inan wa nasira. Allahumma kun lahum mu'inan wa nasira. Allahumma ayyidhum bita'yidik. Allahumma ayyidhum bita'yidik. Allahumma al'anil kafarat alladhina yasudduna an sabilik wa yukadhibuna rusulak wa yuqatiluna awliya'ak. Allahumma shattit shamlahum. Allahumma mazziq jam'ahum. Allahumma khalif bayna kalimatihim wa zalzil aqdamahum wa anzil bihim بأسك الذي لا ترده عن القوم المجرمين. اللهم خذهم أخذ عزيز مقتدر. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت. اللهم اكفناهم بما شئت. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, all those who are sick, give them shifa'i kamila, ajila, mustabirra, da'ima. Ya Allah, remove every trace of their ailments, Ya Allah. Whatever difficulty, hardship anybody is experiencing, Ya Allah, remove it with afiyat, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, grant khair and barakah in each one's risk, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Ya Allah, the upcoming ishtima, Ya Allah, make it very easy, Ya Allah. Make all the intizam very easy, Ya Allah. Make it extremely successful, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make it a means of each one's heart turning towards you, Ya Allah. Of each one's heart becoming filled with your muhabbat, Ya Allah, filled with the fikr of deen, Ya Allah, with the fikr of getting closer to you, Ya Allah, with the fikr of bringing deen in each one's life, Ya Allah, and in everybody's life, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, make it a means of, Ya Allah, hidayat spreading throughout the earth, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah, you grant us every khair and barakah, Ya Allah. Save us from the traps of nafs and shaitan, Ya Allah. And all those who have raised their hands to this dua, all who asked us to make dua for them, grant each one the best of dunya and akhirat, Ya Allah. Allah, remove each one's difficulties and hardships, Ya Allah. Allah, grant each one barakat in their risk, Ya Allah. Ilahul Alameen, Ya Allah. Allah, our greatest need, Ya Allah, is to become yours, Ya Allah. Make us yours, Ya Allah. You become ours, Ya Allah. اللهم إنا نسألك من خير ما سألك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم ونعوذ بك من شر ما استعاذك منه نبيك وحبيبك سيدنا محمد محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم أنت المستعان وعليك البلاغ ولا حول ولا قوة إلا بالله العلي العظيم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين والحمد لله.